County Pulse podcast is brought to you in part by the Door County Medical Center. Are you looking for a job with excellent benefits, culture, and potential for advancement through tuition reimbursement programs? Door County Medical Center is hiring. For more than 75 years, Door County Medical Center has been the leader in health and wellness for Door and Kewaunee counties. Their integrated medical center provides a wide range of specialties, including primary care, behavioral health, general surgery, the Women and Children's Center, the Door Orthopedic Center, the Door County Cancer Center, and more. To join the team, apply today at dcmedical.org/careers. Welcome to the Door County Pulse podcast. I'm Miles Danhausen Jr. And this week we are talking about our annual sustainability issue. We're talking about water. Door County, obviously we're surrounded by it. You can't get away from it, which is a good thing. But it's also really important that we keep our eyes on it and make sure that it's healthy, that we can drink it, that the lifeblood of our economy is in a good place. And this year in the issue, that's what we looked at. And to talk about it is Deborah Fitzgerald. Deb, welcome to the podcast studio again.
Yes, thank you, Miles.
Yeah, we've been doing the sustainability issue, I think, for, it might be like 15 years now.
Yeah, give us a little history on that. Yeah, how did it start?
Well, it started because I was commuting down to UWGB for college as I was like coaching, writing for the Pulse, piecing together odd bartending jobs.
Youth.
Yeah, back when I could never do that today. But there was a great class offered by a professor who actually lived in Door County named Larry Smith, and it was a whole course on sustainable development. And this is probably 2006. So this is probably more like our 17th year doing this. It was a really interesting class, and Door County was going through a lot of struggles with how do we go about attracting tourists without killing what we have here. And so it was really top of mind for me. So it was a good timing thing. And as I would start, of course, when you're in your early 20s and you're learning all this stuff and reading these books, you're of course regurgitating that and spewing it kind of as your own original thought, which I'm sure I was doing at the time. And Dave Elliott kept hearing me talk about this. And he said, well, why don't we just do a whole issue based on this? And I thought he was nuts, but it was a great idea. And it gave me an opportunity to dive into these topics and our staff to dive into this, because we were all very passionate about it and have remained so over the years. Which one of the cool things about our office is that we have a lot of people who really care about the environment around us, not just from a talk standpoint, but take part. They volunteer. You're on the board at the Ridges Sanctuary. We've got people who put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah,
when it comes to this. And that's invigorating too. So anyway, each year we kept doing this and we keep trying to look at and honing in on a specific topic, whether it be the one year you did trees. We've talked about, like, one year we did three big ideas of like, hey, could we go energy independent and produce our own energy? And what would that look like? What's going on with our groundwater? What does our karst topography mean for us here in our lives on the peninsula? So a lot of different topics covered over the years. And we've done different aspects of water multiple times. And I was glad that when I was reading what you did for this year's issue, you made a point of saying, this doesn't cover all the ground related to water, because it's such a huge topic.
Huge.
What did you decide to hone in on and why?
I guess only when you choose water as a topic do you realize quickly how broad it is and how many different ways you could go with it. So we really did have to narrow it down. And the thing that interested me first when I first pitched the idea for it for this year was I had been here covering Door County back in, you know, late 1990s and early 2000s. And I covered the Nicolet Bay beach swimming sickness when 68 swimmers became ill. And then the Beach Act was passed a couple of years before that, and so it was kind of coincidental, but Door County and Wisconsin really embraced beach water monitoring in 2003. So I started covering it way back then. We have been monitoring our water in Door County now for that many years. And I wanted to look at the data. I knew also that we had discovered so much more about how water travels in Door County due to our karst topography. There was the sickness, you know, almost 300 people became ill after a brand new restaurant with a brand new septic system opened up, and groundwater became contaminated and it traveled really swiftly. to other wells. So there was that.
I think that was one of the moments when it really opened up a lot of people to the karst topography that we have. And both, and you're referring to, and this is ancient history at this point, so I don't want to cast aspersions on this restaurant. But
that's the only reason I didn't say the name.
But I will say the name just because it's just lingering, and people who know it. It was the Log Den, and this was 15 years ago.
It was in 2006.
Yeah, and so it's a failed septic system. It was a big deal at the time, and people were wondering why are these people getting sick in these different areas, and in part because of the way the water runs underneath us in the ground. Same thing with the Ellison Bay explosion that happened a couple of years later, where the propane leaked, and you would have the Ellison Bay General Store blows up, but another building in between the General Store and the leak was unaffected. And like the Viking Grill didn't blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just because of the weird fissures in our rock and where something like a natural gas or a propane can leak, or water.
Right. We do go into that so that people have a background on our karst topography and why it's so much more vulnerable and fragile here. The groundwater, and the groundwater that feeds 8,000 wells in Door County, which is the primary source of drinking water for anybody who doesn't live within the city of Sturgeon Bay or the village of Forestville or Sister Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's incredibly important for people to understand like what that geography is so they understand. So I knew that septic system failure and the sickness that resulted had prompted a couple of different programs and initiatives. And I wanted to see what happened with those.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of this data that had been accumulated over the past 20 years that I don't think that anybody had ever really looked at to see what kinds of improvements we've made. I know that there were tons of beach mitigation projects that took place in order to try and prevent the E. coli, the fecal bacteria, from getting into the beach water. So we wanted to take a look at all of that stuff, and we basically separated it into recreational water, groundwater, and well testing. So the septic systems, the wells, and all of the well testing, which didn't start as long ago, but we still have accumulated some data on that about 5-6 years. And that's continuing with a new contract that the county has. So that and beach water, which is recreational waters that we use, swimming, boating, anything.
What did you expect you would find as you dug into this data, and what did you find?
I expected there to be a gradual decrease in the numbers for beach action days, is what they're called, for the beaches, for instance.
So let's describe what a beach action
day
is for the novice. That might sound like, hey, that's the day when you go jet skiing.
Yeah. So a beach action day is an advisory or a closure.
Okay.
So it needs to be at a certain level in order to be an advisory. It's not advised to swim. And then if it goes over another level, then it's a closure. And those are EPA standards. The students who come up here every summer and have been doing so for 18 years now, they are the ones who pull all of that data together. We have 54 beaches in Door County, and every year since 2003, 32 of them have been tested. Some of those on a daily basis, some of those on a twice daily, some thrice, some weekly, plus Washington Island and Rock Island. And they just added another 9 beaches working with the Door County Environmental Council last year, last season. So they are flexible in that way too. I expected there to be a very high number of beach action days at the beginning when they first found out, hey, E. coli or fecal bacteria gets into our water. Because what was really fun about this story, one of the surprises, I was talking with Greg Kleinhines, who runs the beach monitoring program and has since 2003. He said when it first started and they were trying to find out what caused the sickness of those swimmers and were trying to do the source identification, everybody had a theory that it was coming from Milwaukee and Chicago.
I remember that. Yeah.
So they had to discover.
We all want to blame Milwaukee and Chicago or Green Bay or anybody but us for anything that goes wrong.
So that was a really interesting story to be retold about that whole the swimmers are sick. And as hard as it is to believe, they didn't know why swimmers would be sick from swimming in water. Mm-hmm. They actually had to make those connections that it is fecal bacteria. How did the fecal bacteria get in there? Where is it coming from? So there was this whole period of source identification. And so that part of it was surprising in remembering how much we didn't know, because now today, all of that stuff is so common.
Right.
So that was a surprise. But I thought that the water at the beginning was going to be very high with fecal bacteria, and now very low, like there would be a decrease over the years as we re-engineered our beaches. Mm-hmm. But there really wasn't that. What happened was, yes, there were definitely more beach action days at the beginning before the re-engineering of the beaches, but not dramatically so. And after they started doing mitigation on the beaches and bringing in sand and planting dune grass and doing all kinds of different things, then you started to get to kind of a leveling off. But there are some spikes in certain years because certain years are wetter.
Yeah.
And so if you have more rainfall, and that's another thing, they didn't know that rainfall would be the thing that would spike the E. coli levels back then.
Yeah.
So they, at one point, if we got a quarter inch of rain, the county would automatically close beaches way back then. And now they don't do that because they have more data on that. But
and more mitigation measures.
More mitigation measures and everything. But I guess the biggest surprise was Door County has more beaches, as I said, tested than any other county. And we have the third lowest beach action day percentage over 18 years.
Wow.
That's 4% of all of the beaches tested will have some kind of an action, an advisory or a closure. There are a couple of problem beaches, and I do talk about those in this issue, and the mm-hmm. sustainability does address those. But otherwise, and quoting Greg Kleinhines, the water quality in Door County is really good.
You could say that we've done a lot to mitigate a lot yes. of those efforts with the rainwater. Like you said, the dune grass, special sands brought in, kind of natural filtration and actual like filtration systems put in some communities.
Biofilters. Mm-hmm. You know, the Village of Egg Harbor is one that we pulled out and highlighted because both the county and UW Oshkosh, which is where Greg Kleinhines is from, they really held them up as a model. Mm. Their beach was a high priority beach when they first started receiving grants, when the Soil and Water Conservation Department first started receiving those. That was a high priority beach because their levels were very high because they have that big slope. And mm-hmm. when it rains, everything would just travel right in.
Right.
So they put a couple of biofilters in. They put permeable pavers in. They planted dune grass everywhere, and they brought in tons of beach sand, which lots of beaches did, because the higher and drier the beaches were, the less it would be an environment for E. coli. Mm. So when it's low and moist, those are the conditions that you don't want to have in a beach.
One of the things that can happen, both from a county official or scientist standpoint, and also for us as reporters, is to fall into some of this jargon that you just get so used to saying, and then realize, like, I remember when people would refer to point and non-source point pollution, and I also just hated using those phrases in, like, non-point source pollution is like, just tell people to stop reading once you put that phrase in there. And what that basically meant was, like, runoff versus, say, a pipe into the water.
Yes.
A pipe into the water would be your point source, and water runoff would be non-point source because it could be coming from all these different places as the rainwater washes stuff into the bay.
Right.
And then, you know, we talk about E. coli or fecal matter. We should clarify to people what fecal matter it is that we're talking about.
Yes. And that was another thing that I was interested in finding out. Is it human? Well, turns out, no. They have done biological testing over the years. There were a couple of years where they did a lot of that. It turned out to be primarily avian.
Yeah.
So the more that they could make beaches unattractive for seagulls and other waterfowl.
Geese,
the better off they would be. So, you know, there are some stray circumstances where I know in Ephraim in August 2021, there was a septic system that was leaking down the bluff and, you know, got into the water and closed. So, you know, there are those random occurrences, but they are random. And it's not primarily human. It is avian. And then if it's coming from the storm sewers, a lot of the storm sewers, which are the collection points for any of the water that's running through the streets after a rainfall, most of those dump into the bays. Mm-hmm. So you take a beach like Otumba in Sturgeon Bay, and they have two massive storm sewers on both sides of that beach that gather...
Maybe not great.
Yeah, that gather a ton of water from the city. And that is so enormously expensive to even consider trying to mitigate, mm-hmm. that they really, they've made so many improvements at that beach. Mm-hmm. They've done everything right, but they can't move those.
Right.
And so they have filters on them. They've done what they can, but it's still going to be one of your problem beaches that you can't do anything about.
Yeah. They invested a lot. It's a really nice beach now.
It is a very nice beach. So that would be, as you were talking about, that would be a point source where it comes in from the stormwater.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is just runoff. And so what you're trying to do is just prevent the runoff from picking up any of the waterfowl, the geese droppings. One of the things that geese love is grass. So if you have grass right next to a beach, it's considered a huge pollution measure because it's going to...
Like dune grass would be your anti-pollution because
yeah.
of the way that holds the sand and then provides this filtration.
But another thing about that, the dune grass, this was a surprise, geese don't like walking through tall grass.
Oh, yeah.
So if they see tall grass, they have no idea. They're like, where do we go? Where do we go? Like, they have no idea what to do. So even if you have grass like in Egg Harbor on the other side of the dune grass, as long as they can't see it from the water, I guess they're not very intelligent, then they will not go up into it. So, wow. I mean, it's kind of interesting that way. So there were a lot of surprises for the beach water side of it and for the groundwater side of it as well. So there have been so many things done on the drinking water side of things, the septic systems, and the survey that was done that took 10 years, the sanitation's office, 10 years. And I think that was just completed, I don't know, about 5-6 years ago. Hmm. So they had found that about 30% of the mound systems in Door County were failing through that survey.
Wow.
John Teichler, who is the sanitarian, he has been there for a very long time. He said now about 5% of those are failing through the program that they have. So huge improvements there.
Right.
Another surprise, the well water. Everybody anticipates that our well water is not going to be healthy. It is in many, many cases. There are certain pockets where nitrates are high that they're finding.
Okay.
And there are some pockets where arsenic is high, but the pockets, unfortunately, for nitrate are kind of where I live. So it is not good. So there were some surprises there as well. Like when you look into the data on the well testing, I think we're so accustomed when you look into data, you're kind of, I don't know, habituated to find bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And this was overwhelmingly not bad data.
So we get letters from people and people who are very environmentally conscious who swear that things are really, really bad
mm-hmm.
and really, really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to deny any work we need to do to improve our waterways and our beaches. But like, so where would you qualify it after looking at all this information?
Right. Well, that's the big, broad scope of this, right? Because those storm sewers are not just bringing fecal coliform from dogs and squirrels and wildlife, you know. It's also bringing in oils, phosphorus, sediment, and other things that heavily pollute water. So to those people who would say, no, our water is not that healthy, by some, if we were to just look at phosphorus, for instance, then that might be a different situation. Now, we did have Bill Berry, who has been covering the environment for 50 years, and he grew up in Green Bay. he did a column for us just to kind of give an overview of what has happened in water improvements over the course of his 50-year career. And it was really interesting to see where we started, where we ended up. And he did talk a lot about phosphorus and dead zones and fish kills and where we are in that. That in itself is one topic. Well, as you know, The Devil's Element, that was a Dan right. Egan book. So you really could just go into that, and that would be a completely different thing. So that is not data that we have, however.
Right.
We don't have anything that is going to measure the phosphorus that is going into our water. There are groups that are looking at that and who really, really focus on the at least phosphorus that comes from agriculture. But, you know, the data is very difficult. You have to stop the point sources, which they've done. As you said, the point source is coming from pipes.
Right.
But stopping the non-point sources, what runs off the land, is, you know, a lot more difficult.
Yeah, it's really hard. There are a lot of ways to say, well, it's not us, or you can't prove it's us, whether you're
right.
a farmer, factory, all those things. Now, the factories even tried to say we weren't the problem back when they were a factory on the river, and you can see the black sludge coming out of our pipes, and then back
yes.
then in the 50s and 60s would say, no, it's not us. No, it's definitely you. You're
yeah.
literally doing it as I'm talking to you.
Right. Kind of so that's one area, the health of our wetlands, for instance, we didn't really get into.
Mm.
And I think that everybody knows, of course, we're surrounded by water, but we also found the data to find out how much water we are on the peninsula.
Hmm.
And it's almost directly proportional to how much water we are as humans. So Door County is about 70% water.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yes. And we kept, I mean, we really, really, really looked at this. Sam Watson and I, a reporter here, we looked at this for probably 2 hours, I want to say, one morning, making sure that we understood exactly how they were computing this and doing the ratios. And it was between all of the wetlands, and which makes sense because of our karst topography. So
mm-hmm.
the wetlands, the rivers, the streams, the creeks,
inland
the
lakes,
the bays, they count the bays as well because
okay.
those are inland. So we are almost 70%. So that's another part that's in the sustainability issue. And humans are almost 70% water. So it's kind of cool. But that is the enormity of this topic. What is the condition of our wetlands? Now, Charlotte Lukes does look at the importance of wetlands to wildlife, but we could do a whole issue just on wetlands and what is the health of our wetlands. We could do a whole issue on our coastal areas, you know, what is the health of those coastal areas. I mean, so it really is so broad that you have to narrow it down, and we need to chip away at it.
And you could do wetlands almost as a development topic, because there's so many
right.
places in Door County that you're hamstrung by how much of your land is technically a wetland.
And how much is
or
being lost.
Or in a floodplain. Or
right,
like
exactly. Especially now, because FEMA just, everybody is redoing, adopting new floodplain maps because FEMA required the county to redo theirs, and it was like a 10-year thing, and, you know, now they're all happening. But anyway, Jackson Parr, who is a former Pulse reporter but is now with Wisconsin Sea Grant, also took a look at rainfall. He has an event coming up, Wisconsin Sea Grant, with the Door County Land Trust and the Climate Change Coalition, and they are looking at severe rain events and how more frequently those happen. Right now, we don't feel that way because we're a little dry up here, but the data does show that. So that's a data-driven piece as well. So lots of good things in this, and that's why we called it Healthy Waters. It's not where we are everywhere for every water body and for every threat to our water bodies, but it is where we have come, and it is where we're going, because all of the programs that are in place and all the testing that's being done, if something is polluting, we're going to catch it almost immediately. So it's showing that the health of the water has improved, and it really could not get worse without us knowing it. It can only get better.
And in a sense, I guess that validates all the money and time and resources that have gone into to studying this and figuring it out.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for all of your work digging into it for us this spring. And for the rest of the team, Craig, Kevin Bineski, Sam Watson, brought in some special contributors, like you mentioned, Bill Berry. Very great to see his name showing up in the paper. And I encourage everybody to check it out and pepper us with more questions and more things to dig into. Actually, pepper Deb with them.
Right. But just don't ask, what about phosphorus?
We'll get to it.
We will.
All right. Thank you, Deb.
All right. Thanks, Miles.
Thank you for listening to the Door County Pulse podcast. This podcast is produced by Miles Danhausen Jr. and edited by the Grammy Award-nominated Hans Christian. No, not nominated for his work on this podcast, but for his album, Ocean Dreaming Ocean. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to check out more of the podcast, visit doorcountypulse.com/podcasts to find our archive of more than 500 episodes featuring local movers and shakers, characters, business owners, authors, musicians, and everyone who helps make this community that we love.